Today we're continuing, Solon Sadi Hey, Gimel Dalet, part three. Today we're talking about dishwashers, and then particularly dishwashers that you have in your house. So the first time we spoke about just the rules, just some understandings of rules that are going to be near from the din and be near to us. This time we spoke about washing dishes in the sink, melting the plastic together, and now we're going to talk about doing the same thing in a dishwasher. Milk exhalations, the kosher and tray, and things like that. Okay? So, in order to talk about it, we need to talk about how dishwashers run. Dishwasher, essentially, does the same thing as you do in your sink, but obviously in an automated way. Okay? So, this is a picture of a dishwasher. This is the inside of a dishwasher. It's basically a cube. It's like 2 feet by 2 feet by 2 feet, give or take. And for most people, the parts that they see are just the racks. You know, you just put your dishes in, and you turn, push the button, put in some soap, push the button, and when you come back a little bit later, your dishes are clean. Okay, but there's two features that we have to care about. Okay, that are relevant to us, and the first is that at the bottom, underneath of the, in this picture, there's no rack in the picture. under the bottom rack, there's like a reservoir. There's a space on the bottom. If you pay attention, you see it underneath the bottom rack, which is where the water goes to, the water that goes in there, we're going to see in a second how the water gets washed, but the water goes in there, and in there there's a heating element. In this picture it's pointed out to you. Usually you could see it. In almost every dishwasher you could see it yourself. You could see a heating coil just sitting in there, that's sitting in the middle of this pool, this reservoir of water that heats up the water. Okay, we'll see about as we go on where the water gets heated. Okay, that's the first thing. The second thing is that the way the dishes get washed is that the water sprays all over them from these spray arms. In this diagram, you could see where the spray arms are, but in this one, you can actually see the spray arms. Okay, there's one, usually one or more on the top, and then on the bottom, and they just spin around, spraying water. The water from the bottom, the water that's in that reservoir, gets pumped through these spray arms and just sprays round and round and round from the top and from the bottom, so that you could, it washes all the dishes. Okay. So the water collects in the bottom. If the water hits the dishes, it then falls down to the bottom again and gets pumped around. So the same water goes around and around. So if there's, let's say, 1 gallon of water in that bottom, in the reservoir on the bottom, that 1 gallon gets spritzed 100 times on your dishes. Okay? It keeps getting spritzed around and around and around in each cycle of the dishwashing. And then it drains out, and new water comes in another cycle. But the water will go around 100 times, hitting your dishes, hit the dishes, hit the floor, and spritz around again. Okay? Okay, so now, what I just hinted at was that there isn't just one time that the water comes in and washes. There's really three cycles, we'll call them, to a whole washing sequence, and they're like this, okay? There's a pre-rinse, a wash, and a sanitizing rinse. Okay, the pre-rinse is, hot water comes in from the tap. In America, that water comes from the hot water tap. Okay, in Europe, and I believe, in Eretz Yisrael, it's my impression now, it comes from the cold water tap.
Really? Actually.
Yeah. It does not come from the hot water tap.
Wow.
So in...
That means it doesn't start really working. Okay, let's say use cold water.
So the pre-rinse, the goal of the pre-rinse is just to get the big pieces of food off your dishes. Okay? So in America, the dishwashers are attached to hot water tap, so the water's... You'll hear in a second. It's not so hot.
You can do what you want.
What do you mean you can do what you want?
Attach the cold water if you want. There's nothing...
Yes, but...
It's a water hose. It's a line.
If you're a plumber, you go to the plumber and say, plumber, please put in my dishwasher. That's what he's going to do. Okay, that's the standard. Okay, and it's no soap. It just spritzes around and cleans off the biggest pieces of dirt off of the dishes. Just a pre-rinse, okay? Then, the main cycle for getting clean, which... dishes clean, is the washing cycle. There, water fills in. Okay, so after the pre-rinse, that water all drains out. And then the new water comes in. That water gets heated up by the coil to 130 or so.
Where did you get that number from?
130. I watched a lot of dishwashers. I've been logging temperatures in dishwashers. So give or take 130 degrees.
Yeah, thermometer in the dishwasher.
Yeah, with a log on it. Yeah.
I mean, the water coming in is about 120. You know?
So we're going to talk to you in a minute about how hot the water is coming in. We'll talk about that. But the water gets heated up to give or take 130. It depends on the dishwasher. Soap pops in. You know, when you put in soap at the beginning of the thing, it opens up at the right time to let into this wash cycle. It spritzes all around. Get almost just essentially gets off all the grease and the dirt and the food off of the dishes, again, and then it drains out, and then we go to a third cycle, and that's a sanitizing cycle, where there's no soap, again, but this time the water is even hotter, it rinses off the soap that was there from beforehand, but really the main job is to sanitize the dishes to get rid of germs, v'chayinah. Okay, now, in depending on how you run your dishwasher, there's something that's also a cycle afterwards, which is just coil, no water. Okay, that's the drying cycle. Okay, that's not relevant to our discussion. Okay, that's if you want it, it's called heated drying. If you set your dishwasher like that, you could choose to have it on or not. Then it just turns on the coil, it makes it very hot in there and dries off your dishes, but that's not relevant to us. Okay, so there are two contemporary poskim that I know of who spoke lots about dishwashers. In Rav Avadya has a tshuva about it, and Rav Moshe has eight tshuvas about using dishwashers. Okay, so Rav Avadya's tshuva we'll get to, both of them we're going to talk about them. Now, Rav Moshe's eight tshuvas, these are his eight tshuvas, okay, they're written over a span of many years, okay, and this is at a time when dishwashers were becoming more popular in homes. That's when he was writing the tshuva, as you can imagine. In this 60s, mainly 60s and 70s, a little before and after, okay? But Rav Moshe talks about four topics, four different topics. What we care about, mainly talk about is if you can use milk and flakes in the same dishwasher, okay? He also talked about if you can use kosher and non-kosher in the same dishwasher. He also talked about how do you kosher your dishwasher? Okay, if you want to kosher it, what do you have to do to kosher it? And last was, assuming you're going to kosher it, what happens if it's made of porcelain, which is not able to be koshered? What do you do then? Is there something to do better? Okay, and if you look, you see how those tshuvas talk about all these different topics. Okay, all there's a mix and match of them. Okay, and but what we care about, what we're main, a lot focusing on, the beginning at least, is a milchus and flakes, is a kosher and treif in the same dishwasher, and then at the end, we're going to talk about how to kosher your dishwashers. Okay, now. As I just said to you, those tshuvas were written in the 60s and 70s, when dishwashers were first becoming more common and popular, and possible for people to have in their houses. But Rav Avadya's tshuvas, I don't remember, I think it's not dated, Rav Avadya's tshuva, but it's also from some time ago. But since then, there have been two major changes in the way dishwashers run. Okay, there's some smaller changes that we're going to talk about, one very important one we're going to talk about later. The two main ones that are relevant to us, two big changes that have happened like this. The first is, for a long time, I'm talking from what I hear from people who had them in their houses decades, the dishwashers did not have a heating coil in them. Okay, all they did was they took the hot water out of the tap and they spritzed it on your dishes. Okay, that's all they did. There wasn't a heating coil. We have a heating coil as news. Okay, that's a new thing. It sort of goes together a little bit with the fact that how people used to keep their hot water heaters much hotter than they do now. Maybe it has to do with why they could just get away with that. But there wasn't a heating coil inside. The hot water came out of the tap and spritzed on the dishes. Okay, so the difference for us is that makes us the dishwasher, the bottom, at least the reservoir dishwasher, is the klirishin. Okay, in those days there wasn't really much to do with a klirishin. The most it was is iruy, and probably not even iruy either, because the water poured into the dishwasher and then spritzed all around. Okay, but for us, we have at least one part of the dishwasher, the bottom, that reservoir, which is a klirishin, at least at some parts. When the coil goes on, there's a fire that's cooking right in there. Okay, and to the point, when I say that it was so, it's new that we had this, and the tshuvas are not thinking about that, is someone, one of the later tshuvas, you could see from the answer I'm about to show you, that they obviously didn't say, wait a second, but isn't it a klirishin? You could see that was the person's question. And Rav Moshe's answer to the person is, this that you told me, that the water is cooked inside of there. He says, "Well, move on, cloud. Harry Ena came to Ena my Miss Bashlim Shama. No, so why am Shama? Can you do it? The water just comes in like that. It doesn't cook inside the dishwasher."
1975.
Right. So things were changing. That was around when things were changing. This is one of the later tshuvas. He said, the person obviously said to him, "Wait a second, but it cooks inside of there." And Rav says, "What are you talking about? Of course, no, of course not." Now it wasn't like Rav didn't know. It means it's at all the dishwashers that he ever looked at until then. Didn't have this. It's a newer thing that they have this coil type. Okay, so that's a chumrah for us. Okay, the second thing is that because of consumer interest and government impositions and whatever you want to call it, dishwashers use much less water and energy than they used to. Okay, it used to be in the Before 1994, dishwashers used a whole wash sequence, not a cycle, a whole sequence of washing the dishes from beginning to end could use 10 to 14 gallons. That's what they tell me.
In other words, it drained and refilled.
They would, that 10 gallons wasn't at once, but of the three parts that I told you, so if it uses 10 gallons, so there are 3 gallons in each one, give or take, let's say. Then, after 1994, the people started using less, got down to 6 gallons. In the past, like 10 years, it's been down to 5 gallons. And there's a newer thing, relatively new, called Energy Star, that if your dishwasher wants to qualify for that, it has to use less than 3.5 gallons for the whole wash cycle. Okay, so the truth is that when part of the way, I'm gonna say this later. I'll push that for later. So the first thing is like this. So this, the fact that we use less and less water than they used to, has a chumrah and a kula to it. Okay, the chumrah to it is that it makes it that it's almost for sure that the amount of iser that's in your dishwasher will not be balta b'shishim. Okay, it will not be balta b'shishim into the water. Meaning, when you use a lot of water, then think about how much food is left on the dishes, and it comes up a little bit in Rav Moshe's Tshuvas, that the amount of food that's left over is within range that it could be balta. Okay, but when we're talking about using very little water, like we use now, it's really it's almost impossible to see both machines. And here it's like this. I broke it down for you. Okay? I have to tell you one thing before I go. I'll take you back. Sorry. Don't look at that. And that's like this. The part of the way that they save water, this is a trick. Okay, part of the way that they save water is that the cycles are broken down into sub-cycles. So like the pre-rinse, there might not be one pre-rinse, there might be 3 pre-rinses. Or there might be 2 sanitizing cycles. And that means to say each sub-cycle holds less than a third of the water. Each cycle may hold a sixth of the total water. And that saves them, that lets them save water because they could say the normal wash is 1-1-1. Okay? And that you only uses, an example I'm going to have for you, 2.9 gallons. But if your dishes are dirtier, there's a sensor that says dishes are dirtier, or if you choose to get a better wash, then it uses 5 gallons. So they can qualify as using less water by breaking up cycles. You could say what's called a normal cycle uses very little water. But basically, in truth, you could actually end up using more. Okay, because the sensor is going to say, oh, these dishes are way too dirty. I can't clean those dishes with so little water. So they'll make 2 sub-cycles. Okay, so now here's in this chart, it tells you how much water there is in a sub-cycle. It'll tell you how much the issue would be to be both of the solution. Okay, so 2 gallons, which would be a huge amount for nowadays. Okay, in the olden days, 2 gallons was nothing. There'd be way more than 2 gallons. Okay, but in nowadays, 2 gallons is like a lot of water in a subcycle. This is the amount. Here's 8 T lights. This is the amount that Issa would have to be broken machine. So when you wash your dishes, you must be kidding. Of course, there's going to be that more than that amount of Issa in there. Okay, but that's only if you use this relatively huge amount of water of 2 gallons in the subcycle. Okay, but if you use a little bit less. This would be from 5 gallons. It had been 5 gallons total, so one and two thirds, and it would use this amount of it. Okay, I don't have here, but if 0.8 gallons, which is a more typical, okay, 0.8 gallons in a subcycle is the size of an AirPods case. Okay, I couldn't get people to spare their AirPods cases, so I could bring them to show it to you. But if you ever seen one, okay, it's really small. Okay, so because they're using less amount of water. That means is the amount, the chance, the realistically, there is no way that the issue that's in there is going to be balta b'shishim. Okay? As opposed to 40 years ago, 50 years ago, the amount of issue that was in there, it was within range. I can't say it was, but it was within range that it could be balta b'shishim. Okay?
I don't really understand how to get it really ever be balta b'shishim.
Because?
I mean, it's not, the issue is not just sitting in the water all the full amount of water the whole time. The issue of the water is spritzed around and there's
and therefore
pockets and the stuff, there's pieces moving around. So how can you can ensure it? It's almost probably impossible that your bittle will be constant. Your bittle might have been in the bittle for a few seconds. You might have bittle in place where the thing's plunked into the reservoir on the bottom.
Right.
But when it's getting sloshed around all over the place and there's different amounts of water in different places, I don't really say you can, practically speaking, say to the bittle.
So are you thinking about if you do millions of patients or kosher tape at the same time, or are you doing them one after the other? Because when we're doing the one, if the other, we think about it, the whole thing is kosher, the whole thing is trade.
Well, I was looking at the dishwasher, right? Mm-hmm. You can't say this big one counter water, isn't it?
Because
my dishwasher's kosher, there's always going to be a little bit. The guy has a gun. You held the dishwasher for 5 years. It's insane to assume that they're going to be bottled no matter how much water the thing is.
If every time it would be bottled, then it would be a problem. But you don't have to argue about it. It doesn't make a difference.
The water starts coming in. It doesn't make different stages and cycles, like you're saying. And the water gets spritzed around all over the place. Okay, I don't see how you can have. I don't see how you can have bottled.
Okay, we have lots to do. So let's keep on moving. Okay, so now. But there's another side look on that is like this. Okay, and you have to just pause and think like this. When you put water into the, and this has to do what you said before. When you put water into the dishwasher. Okay, the reservoir holds this amount of water. So let's say in the bottom, let's say about towards the bottom, it holds a gallon. Okay, that's not unusual that the reservoir holds just a gallon because the way they're going to do it, they're going to do cycles and subcycles. Once the bottom holds 1 gallon of water. Okay. That means is we take the water out of our hot water tap. So you said to me before, you said this, wait a second. The water, I don't know if in your house, you said the water come out 130, 140 degrees out of that thing. Okay? So it happens to be that it's considered safe to make your water only 120, but lots of people have it higher than that. Let's say the water in my house is 140. Okay, I was in the house, the water is 139 degrees, it was coming out. Okay? When you take 1 gallon of water out of the hot water tap and put it into the bottom, that water is not going to be Yatzeleva spray. Not Yatzeleva spray even, okay? In the house, one of the houses that I tested, the hottest hot water that I tested it, the water was 139 degrees, okay, and they also had a recirculating pump, okay, a recirculating pump which is means keeps the pipes always full with hot water, okay, it doesn't get to every spot, but it keeps the, whatever, why they have it, okay, it never, ever, in many places that I tested it, dishwasher, never, ever did the water come in, was it Yatzeleva spray.
Same because the initial
gallon. Because, and the reason is because if you're only putting in 1 gallon of water, then there's water in the pipes themselves cool it off, the dishwasher is cold, so it never, ever that I saw, like I didn't test 1,000 of them, but all the ones that I tested, it never happened, and that has to do partly with how much water we put in. If you put in 5 gallons of water, then think about washing your hands in the sink. You put on the hot water, it takes time till you get hot water coming out, okay, and think about it, it's falling into a dishwasher, which is all cold, so... In the olden days, it may have been hot, but now that it never, ever happened, that I saw, that the water coming out came out, that it should end up being, it usually dropped the error 30 degrees, okay, from the temperature, the real temperature of the hot water tank. You know, when I let it run for a long time, how much the real temperature, it dropped the error 30 degrees. Okay? That's a cooler
thing. You interrupted the cycle, you opened the door, and you took the temperature of the room.
No, I had a thermometer inside there with a wire coming out, and a log also.
Oh, a wire coming out.
With a wire coming out so I could watch it while it was happening, and I had a log for it also, that it logged it after, so I could show you charts on my computer. Okay, so we had it watching inside live while it was happening. Okay, so now, so in order to talk this through, about using the same one for a milk, mainly for us it's milk disinflation. That's what the truths are about, and that's what most people think about it. Okay, is we're gonna talk about the three cycles. Remember, I told you there's a pre-rinse and a wash and a sanitizer. We'll go with each one of them separately. Okay, they're like this. The pre-rinse, the water is, I wrote 100 degrees. It usually was nowhere, not even near 100 degrees. It's usually less than that. Okay, the coils are off. There's no soap, and there's loads of food stuck into there. Okay, so the simple reason why there's no time constraints is because it's not Yatzeleva spray. Okay, the water is not Yatzeleva spray, and it's a cliche. Okay, think what happens: the water pours into the bottom, and then it spritzes around. So there's no coil on, so it's a cliche, and there's not Yatzeleva spray. So there's no time constraints.
How did you know the coils are off?
How do I know the coils are off? Because I watch the temperature. The temperature never goes up. The coil goes on means to raise the temperature, and it never happened. In none of the places that I tried it, again, I tried a bunch of people. I was traveling. I went from the house. I said, you have a dishwasher? Great, let me play with your dishwasher. A whole bunch of them. When my son was getting married, we were in a bunch of houses. Everybody said, one guy had two dishwashers in the house. I said, can I use your dishwasher? You know, it's a cliche, because the water just pours onto the bottom, and it was not yet, so let's put it, okay? Now, so that means is forgetting about what we're learning, Simon Sadi A, Sif Gimondal. Forget about not Barnats and Pegima, which we're going to get to. We're going to talk about those soon. But forget about those kind of rules. There's no problem with time transient because it's not Yatzeleva. Now, Rabbi Reese actually had another angle of this, and that's going to come from what later, which is even were we to say that time would transfer in this pre-rinse, in the next cycles, the next cycle is going to be, we're going to talk about the gemas, and maybe hotter. Those cycles are definitely hotter, so you potentially have been poigim and kasher your kelim after they have the dishwasher. If you did milchig slave and then fleshig a minute later, because right yet, even if this would be yatzle this way, the next cycles are going to be hotter and are potentially poigim, so they would kasher also. That's a different way of looking at it. Okay, but the simple reason is, it's not yet sleds, but it's not a klivishit, we're good. Okay, that's in the first cycle. Okay, now, the next is the wash cycle. Okay, now in the wash cycle, the temperature gets, I wrote 130, it gives or take, it depends on the device. The coil does go on, that's what gets it hotter, because the water comes in not so hot, and it goes up like that. There is food left there, and there's soap in the water. Okay, so the Rav Arnish Tshuva is mainly about this. This Rav Arnish Tshuva is about, he doesn't break it down to cycles, but the Tshuva is all about whether Nechtam Lefkam, which is Halachat Baal that we were doing, all about that, and why is that it's true, and you could be Samachan, and it's Lachat Chila, all kinds of things that he has to say about that. And therefore, Rav Arnish says, since it's Nechtam Lefkam, he says, so no problem. So there's no time to transfer when you're doing, because the wash always has, the wash has soap into it, and therefore, everything's fine. Okay, now, just as an aside, at the end of, if I remember, it's at the end of the tshuva, Rav Arnish says, wait a second, but I heard that there's water without soap and afterwards, which is the sanitizing cycle. Okay, so Rav Arnish says, he says, that doesn't bother me, because it was already became lefkam. Okay, the bleeds already became lefkam. Okay, and this touches on a machlok, as we've talked about. A machlok, as we've talked about, is when something becomes, when you introduce something that's pogum, at Yatzeled Dispoy, does that ruin the taste that's Balua inside also, or only deals with bleeds that come out? Not a chazanish about that. And it turns out that there's Machot Zahorn right here in this din. I never knew that. But that chazanish that we've talked about in the past is actually a Shayel Nachorn right here. The Machot Zahorn right here, the Pesu, the Chavastas, right here in this din about whether that's true or not. Okay, this thing that we always think we follow Chazanish, that time has to come out in order to become problem, it's that Machlok Sachorin might understand. Okay, so that's what Rav Arnish says. Now, when we talked about in part one about Netzal Mufkam, we talked about the Machaber says yearly that if you put Afer into the water, then it's problem. And Achronim said, wait a second, maybe it is, maybe it's not problem. Okay, so they weren't so convinced. So at the time, we said that, you know, really, if you want to know if something is pogum, then you should, at least one part of this is to actually taste it, see if it's pogum or not. Okay, there was a to-do in the Achronim there. Is the Mechaber right? Is it Bafer? Is or is not pogum? So towards that end, I made up a mixture of water.
Can we know if they're pre-rinse, if typically all the pieces of food are down the drain?
They're not. They are not. Okay, that's what the wash is for. And I actually didn't put on a few here, but somebody, there's all kinds of interesting people out
there. Are you going to take video of inside?
Somebody put a GoPro inside of his dishwasher and did a video of it washing the dishes from the inside.
What's GoPro?
GoPro, it's a remote camera, a remote video camera. Okay. And he put it into a waterproof container. I think it's waterproof itself, but he put it into a waterproof container and he put it inside his dishwasher to wash. Now, unfortunately, he didn't do a real wash. He put like 5 dirty dishes into it. So you get to watch this guy for 2 hours, you get this machine the water spraying around. So I didn't put it on for you guys. But no, the pre-rinse doesn't get off all the food. Now, could it be that after the pre-rinse, the amount of isser is bought the machine? There's what to think about that. I doubt it. And it's hard for me to believe. Just bear in mind, when we talk about milchigs and fleshigs, there's no chanan. So what has to be left has to be basar or cholov. Okay? Having food is not the problem. We have to have isser. But even so, it was hard for me to believe that there wouldn't be that much meat left or grease left on as much as an iPod case. It's just hard to believe. I mean, an AirPod case. I mean, it's not very much has to be there to not be both the magician. So, back to what I was saying was that the you have to see if it's pogum or is it pogum. So I made up mixtures of, it took a little digging to figure out what's the ratio of soap to water in the dishwasher, okay, and made up a mixture to see is that mixture pogum or not. Okay, if you that much soap and that much water, is it pogum or is it not pogum? Okay, and here there's a shayla nachronim about whether the afer in the water is it. In practice, is it actually pogum or not? So I made a mixture. I have them here if you want to taste them. Two different kinds of a powdered dish detergent and a liquid detergent. And I gave them, it's not Kedem, no, it's just about at the ratio it's supposed to be. I gave it to a bunch of rabbinic people to taste. Okay. On one of the, basically they said they're both, they are Lufkan. Okay. They said Lufkan, if you want, you can have it here. I brought you cups if you want to taste. The one person said on one of them he wasn't sure. But everybody said on the other one, and everybody said on that one, everybody else, and everybody said on the other one that it was. And my assumption, therefore, is that it is qualified for Lufkan, which is good. Okay, good for the Jews. Okay. And that's what Rav Aryeh's Tshuva is really all about, that. It's focused on this part. Okay, on whether they were saying this on Lufkan, he sort of ignores the next part, which we've been talking about. Okay, and that is like this. Okay, so our third wash is our sanitizer.
So you've shown that the water in the dishwasher is in the stomach of gum.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that the food, pieces of food that's in there is giving Tom, Tom's going to come out and it's going to
gum. But it's exactly the case that the Mechaber said. If you wash milk and inflation dishes together, don't worry about Tom transferring from one to the other because the Tom is left gum. Okay, so what we're doing, we're just doing a fancier case. Our water that's in there has, instead of afer, we have soap, which if you remember from back then, it's exactly the same thing. We have afer on our water that's keeping, and the time to transfer from the piece of meat from on the fleshy dish into the milk dish has to pass through my water. To pass through my water, it becomes lefka. Okay? I don't care whether the meat itself becomes problem. I care
doesn't have to pass through the water.
Because?
The pieces are flinging against all the...
So you mean maybe the piece of meat itself banked into the mix. So I'm not sure about that, but I'm not sure why that's much different than when you wash the dishes. Think about you wash the dishes in the sink.
What's the traffic? Yeah, the water's problem, but how do we know that?
Because bleas transfer through that water. I mean, the water's there. What do you think? It's hit perfectly dry. It didn't touch it. So it the water's there. So everything's, and we're assuming it goes off. It's a question. I've thought about that. But why don't you say maybe it didn't pass, or maybe the taste of the meat is like so strong that it sort of overwhelmed the chemo, you know? I'm not sure. But essentially, we're making this exactly the case the Mechaber said, that we have something, the liquid in there is pogum, and therefore Tom can't transfer from one to the other. Okay, now, so our last part, we're not finished, but if this, we were talking about kashering it also. Our last part is the sanitizing wash. Now, in this one, the water is even hotter. It would take 150 degrees, you know, 150, 160, depending on what it was. Excuse me. The coil comes on for that. And there's no soap, and there's no food. Okay, or there's essentially there's no food. Okay, so now we the coolers we have from the first two parts don't apply over here. It is Yatzel HaDisboy, and it's not Nesam Lefkam. Okay, but over here, and this is what Ramosha's Chuvas are about. Okay, Ramosha's Chuvas are about this cycle. He doesn't look about the other ones. He doesn't say cycle. He's talking about this part, and here is an example of Naparnat. Because what's going on over here? Think what we have over here. We have dishes. The dishes, there's no more food left on them. All there is blea into the dish. We have a dish that had a blea into it. And now that blea is coming out into the water to go to the next dish. Okay? So it's not for night. It's not the case what the Mechaber said, is that washing milk and flashing dishes together. That's what we're doing. There's no food. That's what Mechaber's case was. He said there's no food left on. Well, the food is Baltimore Shishim, which is exactly our case. There's no food. Well, if there's a tiny bit, it'll be Baltimore Shishim. And all we have is milk dishes and flashing dishes in the same dishwasher, in the same sink, in the case of the Mechaber, and it's a case of Naparnat. Okay, there's lots, Ramesh has lots to say about Naparnat, about the, I told you there's four chuas about it. So the one knot is into the clay, the next knot is into the water, and then doesn't affect other things. Okay? And Rav Avadya would be perfectly fine. Okay, now, but Ramesh says, but wait a second. He says, you know, there's a problem. And the problem is that you can't, as I just keep saying, is you can only say not bar not if there's no food left. Ramesh says, but you know, there's things that hold the silverware. There's all kinds of places where the food could get stuck into there. So he says, you know, the racks are going to carry, could potentially have food left into them. And at this place, if there's food in here, we can't say not bar not. If there's going to be food left behind, you know, there has to be food, a lot of food, but if there'd be food left behind, we won't be able to say not bar not. So Ramosha says the only time a person could use the same dishwasher for milk inflations is if you use separate racks. Okay, so obviously you can't wash them at the same time. If you have separate racks, you have to have separate times. And you have to do them, you have to have separate racks, but as the blea transferring, because, you know, time would transfer from one to the other, then make it into the clea, that's okay. Now, there's a second issue, which is if you, I don't remember how much Ramosha talks about this, and that is, if we wash the milk inflations together, we have to think about, for Ashkenazim, for Ramosha, but not the Bishul. Okay, then we have that angle of nafanai the bishul also, which is if we're washing milchigs and fleishigs at the same time, then the water is going straight from the fleishigs to the milchigs. So I say the machaber said it's okay, right? And the Ramah said it's not okay because nafanai the bishul, you shouldn't do it. Okay, so that's only a concern if you wash them together. If you wash them one after the other. Rav Asher doesn't say this, but I'm assuming that the reason why it's not a problem not by night deficient is because there's like a lot of transfers for that to happen. Think what has to happen. There's one knot into the fleshy dish. Good. Then it's ideficial to get from the dish into the water, into the machine, into the chamber. Then we take everything out. We put a new water, and that's going from the chamber back into the water, back into the milchuk dish. So we have a lot of knots. I'm assuming that's why we're not worried about not by night deficient if you use separate racks. Rav Asher says, okay. So I forgot to put in the thing, okay? And there's no food left over, and therefore, because there's no food left behind, or essentially no food behind, you could say not barnat, Rav Moshe says, and, as well, again, you have to have separate racks.
But on the dishes itself, it is either iruy.
The dish is how they became treif in the first place.
Whatever, so that's all either iruy.
Well, what happens if you put a pot into it?
It's all either iruy.
Why?
Because there's a reservoir on the bottom, the dish is not...
Oh, the iruy in the dishwasher itself. Oh, you have to know how the plate became treif. It bleed into that. So
yeah, anything that happens into the kettle would be either iri.
Correct, and therefore
nothing.
So it cuts down on the amount of bleas and transfers and.
Yeah, I'm saying it's kedei klipa, no? It's kedei klipa.
Correct, but so it's kedei klipa. Makes it easier to have bittul. You're saying you have to be worried less about.
No, I'm not talking about the bittul. I'm not talking about the bittul, but the amount of blea in the kelim, the chayv would only can't be more than kedei klipa.
And therefore, what? How's that?
I don't know.
So it cuts it down, but it wouldn't be a great way to set it up to make my milchuk dish have a fleshy bleak day clip. That wouldn't be too great either, wouldn't it? Okay, now, so let me talk just, I'm not going to do this for real. I'm going to do this as much as I can. I have a lot of little words here to talk about. But how would we kasher a dishwasher? Okay? How would we kasher it? So, for example, let me back up for a second. Ramosh's coolers said it's only mutter because of not barnat. So then, not barnat doesn't work if it's treif. So if you had a treif dishwasher, you couldn't use it. And not barnat doesn't work for Pesach. Because chametz on Pesach is, we wouldn't say not barnat. It's iser. So this is the tshuvas that say you can be makel, say you can only be makel from milchigs and fleishigs. Use the same one with separate racks. But you cannot, he says, you can't use it for Pesach, and you can't use it for treif. Which is, for most people, that's what it would be relevant for. Okay, to say, I want to use my year-round dishwasher for Pesach, that not is not going to work for that. Okay, so the person wants to kasher the dishwasher. Okay, so there's three prerequisites to every kashering, which are, and I'll tell you how they're relevant over here. One of those is the material has to be right for kashering. So if you have a stainless steel one, or you have a plastic one, if you kasher plastic, there are rubber parts, those you could kasher. But if you have porcelain, meaning porcelain enamel ones, then those can't be kashered. And Ramosha, I told you, has, I think, two tshuvas talk about that. Is there something you could do about that? Maybe waiting and a lot of kasherings, different things.
So now they're not made out of porcelain anymore.
Not very uncommon nowadays. There's a lot of stainless steel and plastic. Yeah. Right. So that's the first thing. There's such a thing, but it's not so common anymore. Not so common. Okay. Second is, in order to kasher, the thing has to be clean. There has to be no more be'en left in it. Okay. So you have to clean it out. Now, you'd think that's obvious. Easy. It's a dishwasher. It cleans. That's what it does. It cleans. But once you look at the bottom of the dishwasher, you'll find out there may be lots of food left behind. Okay, there may be not a lot. There may be food left behind on the bottom in the dish racks and things like that.
I've taken apart the dishwasher,
and
it's the amount of food residue caked on over there is impossible.
There's a lot, you're saying.
Yeah,
lots of that.
I'm biased by one dishwasher I took apart, and it was like impossible.
It was okay. So that's definitely an issue. So the different rabbis will tell you different things. Some of them tell you you can only kasher the chamber. The racks are hopeless. Get rid of the racks. They have too many holes in them. Okay. Some people say some people say you say the opposite. The rack, at least I can see what I'm doing. You know, I can see what's
there. I see the clean.
Right. Okay. Other people say that for Pesach you can't kasher at all, and that has to do with the question of how to read. The Ramah says the din is that if something with little holes in it. You have to clean it very well. And the Ramah says, and the meaning, therefore, is you can't kasher them at all if it has little holes in it. It's a question whether the Ramah is talking about only for Pesach or for year-round also. Pesach is worse. Dishwashers are maybe a little bit better. So some people will say, I think it's a serious, he tells people, they could you could kash them for year-round, but you can't kash them for Pesach. Okay, so different ways of dealing with this shiloh of how to get rid of the Be'en, and Mitzvah Shem next time, not next time, well, next time, live, next time when we talk about commercial dishwashers, it's a also a question of, or this becomes an important issue for them also, okay? And the last thing is, of course, it has to be Eini Ben Yomer. That's the easiest one to do. The kashrut cleans Eini Ben Yomer. Okay, so the kashrut itself, so you say, oh, the kashrut itself is the easy part. I just turn it on, and it cleans and washes. Go for it. It's easy. That's what I'm meant to do. Push the button, and off it goes. Okay, so I want to, theoretically, the minute is that a person should always kash with roishchen. You shouldn't kash with kabbalah kapalti. It's not so realistic to get roishchen. And therefore, you satisfy with kabbalah kapalti. Now, there's a tshuva Moshe who talks about putting an Evan Lubenis into the water. I never heard of anybody does it except for one person. Rabbi Reese does it in his house when he caches a dishwasher
for Pesach.
Maybe he caches it from trade. I don't remember what he said. He said he used to put it in the rock. And I have a whole long, lots of notes here about it. Whether that makes sense and whether it makes sense for us. What? No, we can talk about it after. Because it gets the water very hot. That the idea is, it makes the water hot.
You can turn up your boiler.
Turning up your boiler is not going to... That's an interesting idea. It will only do a limited amount, because what's going on really is that you're going to get it heated up. Oh, actually, it's worse. I take that back. It's worse. It has to be the same problem. Okay, I'll tell you. With the Evan Lubenis is, if the water coming in is too hot, the coils don't go on. If the coils don't go on, so you got hotter water, but you lost being a clevision or an earring of a clevision. Remember, you want to kasha the bottom for sure you want to kasha as a clevision, and the other parts you want to kasha as an earring of a clevision. If your water coming in is hotter than the set point, then the coil doesn't go on. So you lose that. You lose the rock does the same thing. The rock makes the water so hot that you lose your clevision because the coil won't go on. Now Ramesh, that wasn't a problem. He didn't have coils in his dishwasher. He couldn't kill it, he just wanted the hot water. The hotter the better. For us, it may be worse to put on the hot rock. Okay, that's a question. Maybe at the beginning you put it in, after later, that's a question. Okay, now, so we want to get the water to be as hot. So I'm telling you two pieces of information why that's not always so simple. And the first is, dishwashers have many different choices of cycles. Okay, at least modern dishwashers have a lot of choices of cycles. So let's say in my house, we always put on the normal cycle. That's what we always do. Okay, and so if I walked into a house and said, I want to take the dishwasher from somebody who lived there before him, who wasn't kosher, I say, run another cycle, and I should be okay. Okay, but the dishwashers have other cycles, like there's a pots and pan cycle. The pots and pan goes to a higher temperature, okay, or there's a high temperature wash cycle, whatever they call it, they have different names for it. So I'm cashing from somebody else's use, or from a way that it became trade, I mean, unless I know how it became trade, I'm cashing, now I have to think and find the highest temperature cycle. Even if I'm going to do the same thing and say, I'm going to just run a cycle, I have to find the hottest cycle, not what I would do, but the person who made a trade did, okay, which sometimes is the higher cycle. Okay, and then there's an extra quirk in a modern dishwasher, I hinted at this before, and that is modern dishwashers, in order to save water and save energy, have sensors in them. Okay, and the sensor says, I know how dirty the dishes are, and maybe I decide how much to wash these dishes. Okay, it washes based on how dirty your dishes are. Okay, well, guess what? Part of what the sensor does is that if the dishes are really not so dirty, then I don't have to make it so hot either. Okay, well, guess what? If you're kashering, there's no dishes. There's no food in there. So how dirty is the dishes? Zero. Not dishes at all. The sensor will be thrilled. The sensor will say, we don't have to do our full cycle.
How do you know that the temperature is lower?
How do I know? Because I read the manuals and I play with it. Yeah, and I play with it. And you see. So the sensor, sometimes the sensors just do fewer cycles. They'll say is, instead of doing three prints, I'll do one pre-rinse because I'm happy. I got enough over in one pre-rinse. But it also could affect the temperature also. So in some dishwashers, you can override it. You can turn off my sensor. So what I'm saying, when you're kashering, there's no dirt in there. So you have to pay attention. So sometimes you could override the sensor, or you could choose Bishita. You can tell, I want this very high cycle, which it sort of overrides the sensor also. The sensor says, I want to do a certain thing, but you, by saying, I want a very high temperature, again, you have to dig into the details of your dishwasher to know what you're getting, so you can't just say, I ran a cycle. Ran a cycle doesn't mean you ran the cycle. Okay, it didn't mean you dafka kasha what you were supposed to. Okay, there's lots of more little words. There's particularly a question about how it hit every spot. It's a separate question. I'll have to read it one day.